Hallelujah. Let's worship Jesus across the building. Come on, somebody. There's a sweet touch of the Holy Ghost here. Don't pass me by, Jesus. In this moment of time, God, don't pass me by. I'm reaching out to you, God. I'm reaching out to you, God. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Nobody like you, none besides you, God. We need you. We want more of you. More of you, God. Fill us up tonight, God. Come on, that's it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, God. Amen. There is a sweet presence of the Holy Ghost in this building tonight. And I want to do my best to follow the Holy Ghost. I really feel like God has a word for somebody tonight. I really believe that this could be a moment in time in which things change for you. I really believe that. I really believe that. And so if you have your Bibles, without any further delay, we're going to turn open to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Very thankful for what God did this morning. And I'm believing God to do great things again tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and beginning in verse number 3. The Bible says, 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understandings in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Skipping down to verse number 14, the Bible says, "And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears, helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be upon the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong." Until he was strong. "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense." This is a sobering word for us tonight. He was marvelously helped until he became strong. And I want to do my best to preach to you when strength becomes your weakness. When strength becomes your weakness. I wonder if you can set your Bibles down and let's go to the Lord and let's pray. Let's lift up our hands. Let's lift up our voices and let's talk to Jesus. Amen. Lord, we love you. We thank you, God. We pray that you'd speak to every heart. Speak to every mind, God. Give us ears to hear and a heart to respond, God. Hallelujah, Lord. We pray, take this word, God, and deposit it deep down in somebody's soul. In the name of Jesus Christ, we worship you. We praise you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Hallelujah. Let's worship him for a minute. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Shake your neighbor's hand. Give him a great big God bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. When strength becomes your weakness, there is a sweet presence of God in this place. Amen. And it would be easy to go in any myriad of directions, but again, I believe that God wants to speak to somebody. Hallelujah. The Bible says that Uzziah was 16 years old when he began to reign as king. Several times throughout the Word of God, you will find that God would allow young men to be thrust into kingship at a very young age because of the sudden death of their predecessor. For example, you'll find in the Bible that Josiah was 8 years old when he began to be reigning as king. And almost immediately after filling it in with their age, it will begin to tell us what they did in relation to God. It will usually say something along the lines of, they did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, or they did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Each of them had famous deeds or infamous accolades, if you will, amen, that throughout their life would determine the phrase that would loom over the biblical account, amen, of their life. You might remember in the Bible there was a king by the name of Jeroboam, and he is continually referenced throughout the Bible by the evil way that he served the nation of Israel. He is forever tagged with the phrase, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and he caused all of Israel to sin. What was that great sin, you might ask? The Bible lets us know that he created another altar halfway to Jerusalem, and he was forever tagged as causing all of Israel to sin. I'm going to tell somebody tonight, you got to be careful of people, amen, that try to get you to go halfway to worship. People that try to get you, amen, to serve God with half of your heart, with half of your mind. You got to be careful of people that try to give you a more convenient and an easier way to worship God. There is not an easier, there is not a more convenient way to worship the Lord. There's only the right way to worship the Lord, and that's in the beauty of holiness. There's only one way to serve God. Don't believe anybody that tells you there's more than one way to be saved. Don't ever believe anybody that tells you there's more than one God to worship. We know the Lord, and he's the only one. We know, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. We understand we got to worship him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our souls, and with all of our strength. I wonder if we could do that for a minute. Let's take a moment and let's just worship him. Let's remind hell there's only one God who's worthy of worship. There's only one God who's worthy of praise, and it's Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's not a half-hearted way to serve God. Don't believe anybody that tells you you can be a lukewarm Christian. You can be almost saved. Honey, you can't be almost saved. You can almost be on fire. There might be smoke, but it doesn't mean there's fire. You're either on fire for God, you're either living for God, you're either hot or you're cold. But if you're lukewarm and halfway, he'll spit you out. We got to serve God on fire. We got to serve God with all our heart. We got to serve God with all our strength. We got to serve the Lord with everything that is within us. Hallelujah. If you believe that, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's easy to capitulate and to try to serve God more conveniently, but God doesn't desire convenient worship. God desires passionate, dedicated worshipers. For the Father seeketh such to worship him that worship in spirit and in truth. There's a lot of people that just want to worship God on Sunday morning and hear a nice Bible study. But when it comes time to put their spirit into it, when it takes time and it put energy into it, amen, they step out the building and they don't come back. But God doesn't want just half of us. He wants all. Hallelujah. Him only shalt thou worship. So, he is forever tagged with the phrase, he did evil in the sight of the Lord and caused all of Israel to sin. And our text reveals that Uzziah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He followed in the footsteps of his father and of his mother in serving God.
We can tell that his parents were godly people because even the name Uzziah means God is my strength. His parents wanted him to know that every time he heard his name, it would be a reminder where his strength came from. Every time his name was called, amen, didn't matter if he was king or if he was cleaning the bathrooms. Every time he heard his name, he had to be reminded that God is my strength. We can tell that even at a young age, he had a heart for the things of God. Verse 5 tells us that he sought the Lord all the days of the prophet Zechariah. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. If we continue to read, the next 9 verses show that under his leadership, he was able to take Israel to a place of strength that they had not seen since the days of King Solomon. They were financially prosperous. They were militaristically equipped. They were organizationally unified. Everything was going so well that the surrounding nations begin to give Uzziah's gifts. And the Bible says his fame spread abroad throughout the known world. The Bible reiterates that that fame and that prosperity came as a direct result of him seeking the Lord. His marvelous help came from seeking the Lord. Amen. There's a lot of churches in America want to talk about prosperity, but you know the only prosperity I ever see in the Bible, that as your soul prospers, you ought to prosper. Amen. As your, what good would it do to give you a nice house on the hill, a white picket fence, and a dog named Scruffy, only for you to burn in a lake of fire? What good would it do, amen, to gain the whole world and yet lose your own soul? What good would it do to exchange the physical for the... It wouldn't do any good. But yet, if our soul prospers, if we seek the Lord, God makes us to prosper. I wonder if we can worship him across the building. You've been looking for that raise, that blessing. I've come to tell you, it comes when you seek the Lord. It comes when you seek God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things come as a direct result. But we got to seek God, folks. We got to seek God. We got to seek him first. Amen. We got to put God first. Everybody wants to put their job first. We got to put God first. Everybody wants to put their family first. We got to put God first. And when we take care of God's business, God takes care of our business. When we take care of God's family, he takes care of ours. When we take care of God's business, God takes care of our business. Let's praise him all across the building. Do I got a witness in the house that can testify? God's been good to me. God's been good to me. Blessed and highly favored. The head and not the tail. Above and not beneath. But it came from seeking the Lord. So he was marvelously helped, because he sought the Lord. But it is in the last portion of verse 15 that we recognize there's a problem. The Bible, if we're not careful, we could easily miss it. The Bible says he was marvelously helped until he became strong. It was in this position of strength that he allowed his heart to be lifted up in pride, which ultimately led to his destruction. When he was young and humble in the days of Zechariah, under the direction of the ministry of the man of God that God had placed in his life, he was blessed and he followed the Lord as the scriptures declared. But now that he became strong in his own eyes, now that he's in a position of strength, he doesn't need the man of God anymore. Amen. Am I preaching to anybody? Now that he got to a position of strength, we see he walks right into the temple, pushes the ministry aside and begins to take upon him something that he should have never, ever done. Because he became strong. His judgment from God was that leprosy immediately appeared in his forehead. Leprosy is a disease that destroys your nervous system and ultimately it desensitizes you. If I were to break it down and put it into my own language, he let the strength and the power go to his head. He let this strength and this blessing and all these good things that God had given him as a direct result of seeking the Lord, he let it go to his head and he thought, it's because I'm strong. It's because I'm good. It's because of me that I'm in the position that I'm in. And leprosy started in his forehead. Amen. He allowed, amen, his strength to desensitize him. He allowed his strength and the blessings that God had given him, amen, to stop, amen, stop him from thinking right. It was when Uzziah became strong in his own mind, it's when he forgot the Lord is my strength. It's when he acquired enough riches, he got a big enough army to feel safe, that he forgot he still had a need for God. He became desensitized. Jesus says, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of heaven? How is it likened? He said, it's like children in the marketplace calling to their fellow and saying, we have piped, but you have not danced. We have mourned, but you haven't wept. Amen. We've been throwing it at you. And week after week, the preacher will get up and he'll preach and he'll pipe and he'll play on the drums and the musicians will sing, and yet you won't dance. And there's something thing that happens, amen, when there's people that are weeping and you won't weep with them that weep, because something has desensitized you. Something has stolen your ability to respond. There's a generation that doesn't know how to respond to God, and God forbid that it ever be one that served him. God forbid that it ever be somebody in this church. Let's lift up our hands and let's praise him. Come on, somebody, lift up your hands. Preacher's preaching. The preacher's been preaching, and I haven't been responding because something's desensitized me. Something's stopping me. Something's hindering me. And I refuse to go one more day being shallow. I refuse to go one more day in my position of comfort. I refuse to go one more service sitting back and not moving when God moves. Come on, somebody, lift up your hands. Let's pray. This is a word for somebody here tonight. It's a sad day when God's moving and we remain unmoved. It's a sad day when God's speaking and we won't listen. It's a sad day when God is moving among us and we refuse to respond. But it happened to a king. And it can happen to a saint. Let's pray. I got plenty of notes here, but I feel like God's speaking to somebody. I don't know what it is, but you've allowed things to get in your spirit. You've allowed things to come up in your heart, and it's been hindering you, and it's been stopping you, and it's been pitting you against the man of God and against the church. And every time they sing that song, you won't move. Maybe God offended you because he didn't move when you wanted him to. Maybe the preacher preached and it was too convicting, but you got to move when God moves. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Oh. Come on, somebody. When the pillar of fire's moving, you gotta move. When the cloud's moving, you gotta move. Or you're gonna be left behind. When God does something, you can't afford to be calloused. You can't afford to be desensitized. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Oh. But it didn't happen to the weak. It happened to the strong. It didn't happen to those that were already backslidden. It happened to those that were in the choir, if you will. It happened to those on the platform. It didn't happen to a peasant in the kingdom. It happened to the king. And I'm going to tell you, you might think, well, there's no way I could become desensitized. Yes, even you, even me, we're all susceptible to strength becoming our weakness. We can look through the rest of the Bible. You may be seated. It was when Abraham was most blessed that he produced an Ishmael. It was when King Saul was highly favored of the people that he tried to take the place of the prophet. It was when Solomon had unlimited riches, when he had ultimate wisdom, that he ended up having more wives than he could count, and he died a cynical idolater. And it is often in our greatest blessings that we risk falling into our greatest failures. David's greatest failures didn't happen when he was on the backside of a mountain just writing love songs to God. David's greatest failure didn't happen when he was fighting the lion and when he was fighting the bear. David's greatest struggle didn't come when he was down the valley of Elah fighting Goliath. It wasn't there when Saul was throwing spears. It wasn't there when he was in enemy territory of the Philistines. But David's greatest failure came when he was sitting in his nice, comfortable castle at a time when everybody else was going to war, and he looked down from his position of comfort and he fell into sin. And I'm going to tell you that you can get too comfortable where you're at, and you can reach a place of comfort, amen, that you start looking down from that position of comfort and you fall.
Let's lift our hands and let's pray.
Come on, somebody, that's it. Let's pray. Somebody's getting comfortable. God's blessed you, but you got comfortable. God saved your family, but you got comfortable. Let's pray. Let's pray. God's blessed your business, but you become comfortable. God's blessed your family, but you become comfortable. And now everything in this world looks appealing. And everything down here is starting to look more valuable than what God has done in your life. Let's pray. Jesus, we worship you, God. Amen, Lord. We don't want strength to become our weakness. We don't want to allow, amen, great church services. Amen. Amen. Wonderful preaching and great altar calls. Amen. To get ourselves to a place of strength where we don't move and we let everybody else move for us. Come on, somebody. Amen. It's a time of war. It's a time of war. And you can't afford to let everybody else in the church go to battle for you. You can't afford to let everybody else pray when you're supposed to pray. You got where you are because you prayed. You got where you are because you worshiped. You got where you are because you fasted, because you read. And now you're comfortable and you're letting everybody else do it for you.
We need to pray. We need to pray. There's people in this church. Amen. You're in a position of strength. And you, if you're not careful, you'll be out the back doors and you'll wonder what happened. But you were spread out. Amen. Because you became comfortable.
Oh, Jesus. 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 Somebody needs to get their prayer life back tonight. Somebody needs to get their worship on tonight. Somebody needs to get back to the book. Somebody needs to get back, amen, to the way that God saved you and how God raised you. Amen. And that's what your strength comes from. Oh, Jesus.
Somebody lift up your hands. You can't rely on the victories of yesterday to carry you into your tomorrow, but you got to have daily bread. You got to have daily victory. You got to let God move on you today and not wait until next week, because no man's promised tomorrow.
Oh, Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Come on, somebody. We got a lot more here, but it doesn't even matter. The fact that God's moving on you and you're starting to respond to what God's been speaking. I'm telling you, amen, tonight's the night where you say, you know what, God, thank you for blessing me, but I got to move beyond where I am. Thank you for moving on me and giving me strength, but I can't rely on that strength. It's going to deplete. I got to keep on praying. I got to keep on fasting. I got to keep on worshiping God. Oh, come on, every leader in the building, amen, I'm praying for you right now. Hallelujah. You've been faithful. You've been loyal. Amen. But there's something that's desensitized you. And God, if you're not careful, he'll remind you where your strength comes from, and it won't be how you want it. God forbid he ever take his strength away from this church. God forbid every leader in this building lost their strength. Amen. But I know that we're in a place of strength. I know we're in a church that believes in the things that give you strength, that reminds us that God is our strength. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Jesus. Let's lift our hands. Let's stand all across this building. God's moving on somebody. Musicians can come. Come on, lift up your hands. If you seek him, you'll remain in strength. But if you seek what you want, you're going to weakness. But I've come to warn you tonight that God wants to use you, and God wants to bless you, and God wants to do great things, and God wants to move you. But if you're not careful, amen, you'll allow yourself to be comfortable in where you're at, and you won't be able to move when God moves. Let's pray. I want to open up this altar. Let's come and let's pray. Come on, somebody, let's pray. Somebody needs to get their prayer life back. You've been missing church. It's time to get back to the house of God. You've been missing out on worship and letting everybody else do it for you and go to battle for you. But today, God's speaking to you. Amen. That position of strength is becoming your weakness, and God wants to restore you tonight. Come on, that's it. Every leader, every young person, every elder, we need to be praying one for another. Amen. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for every leader in this building. Hallelujah. They've been faithful. They've been pillars. But Lord, I pray help them to stay connected to the vine so they don't become withered, so they don't die, so they don't fall.
I pray for every young person. I pray, God, keep them connected through worship. Keep them connected through prayer, that they remain strong. I pray for every married couple, every family. I pray, God, strengthen the families, strengthen the marriages. I pray, strengthen their children in the name of Jesus. We come against every devil of hell that's trying to tear that family apart and trying to tear that marriage apart. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And we... Come on, somebody. Your strength's when you pray. It's when you seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His face. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Next to you, lay your hands over on them. You might not know the temptations, you might not know the struggles, but God knows how to give them strength to overcome.
Fill me with your presence, Lord. Lord, I long to be, or I want to be like you.
With
the love that has no limits. Fill me with.